Introducing Kicking Back with the Cooks, presented by Woodhouse. 18 brands, 16 convenient locations, simplified car buying to save you time. Shop, finance, and buy online at woodhouse.com. Here's head coach John Cook, along with your host, Lauren Cook West.
Welcome back. Another episode, Kicking Back with the Cooks. It's the month of April, and it's birthday month for Coach Cook. So it's a big month for you. But you're 15 minutes early. We're supposed to record this at 10 a.m. on a Friday morning. You're here at 9. You were here before 9:45. We're getting started. We're rolling at 9:45, 9:47. I don't think you've ever been early for anything in your life.
I would disagree with that. Today I started my morning off with speaking to about 1,000 future farmers of America, all dressed up in the blue jackets. And I wish you would have gone through that when you were in high school. And they're here for like 4 days, future farmers of America, doing all kinds of things. And I got to speak with them this morning, do a little presentation, take a lot of pictures, and it was really a lot of fun.
Is that why you're wearing a cowboy hat?
That's why I'm wearing the cowboy hat. They loved it because this cowboy hat is from Bar None Ranch in Thedford, Nebraska. This is a custom-made. They fit you and everything. It's made by Casey, who's a third-generation hat maker. But here's what's cool. They put the N in the hat, and if you can see right here, this is a $2 bill. $2 bill in there, and they put that in there because you'll never go broke if you got a $2 bill in your hat.
They don't make $2 bills anymore, do they?
I don't know. There's one in there, but it's tradition. I mean, this is a third generation. This has been going on for over 100 years, and they custom make them out there. And she works at the Bar None Ranch, which is also a cattle ranch. And when I went out and spoke at another town out there back in late January, they presented this hat. She came out in the fall during volleyball season and fitted me for it, and then presented it there. So pretty cool.
Can you talk to them about making me one? but here's what I want. Yeah. I want the cute little rope band around, maybe a feather in there, just some kind of a hipster cowboy hat.
Yeah, you want a bougie cowboy hat, as your brother would say. Bougie. So she can
maybe do, like a cream, nice cream color.
I'm sure she could do it. You let me know. We got to get fitted though. She has to, so you have to get to Nebraska. So maybe come out for the spring match and we can set that up.
The spring match that you sold out in, what was it, record time?
46 minutes. All cash. Only 4 tickets per person. Sold out in 46 minutes.
Wow.
5,100 seats. So this isn't like last year, it was like 2,000 maybe. This is 5,100.
Wow. And you're playing Denver.
Yes.
Megan Pendergrass, former Husker.
Yep.
And how do you go about scheduling who you're going to play? I know you have to play someone close, but you try to mix it up. You try to get different opponents. How did you guys decide on University of Denver?
Well, when football moved to their spring game to April 27th, we had everything lined up for April 27th for some other teams. But when they moved to the 27th, okay.
We have a toddler interruption.
Yeah.
She really wants to do the podcast with Papa this morning, and she was on it last month for anyone who watched or listened last month, and she really wanted to do it again this month. And she's been asking me all morning, what time are you doing the podcast with Papa? And she doesn't understand time, but I kept saying 10 o'clock. And then she went and got herself dressed, and she put on her – We still have 3 feet of snow outside. It's maybe 30 or 40 degrees today. She put on shorts, a little matching shirt. I mean, she put together her outfit, and she was so proud of herself. She said, I put this on to do the podcast with Papa.
Oh, wow. Wow.
So she's not happy that she's not in here right now recording the podcast with you.
It sounds like it. So,
all right. So anyways, how did you decide on University of Denver?
Because they moved the spring game, football game to the 27th, we didn't want to go the same day as that. So we had to move to May 4th. We might be, besides the California schools that are on quarter system, we're probably the only team that's still playing that late in the semester. I mean, there's going to be some teams finishing, you know, right now. And so Denver was still available, and they're within the range. You have to be within 400 miles. And just to get all this clarified, we were going to go up to Sumner Eddyville, I think is what it's called. I probably didn't get that exactly right, but that's where Haley Tramer was from, that area up there. They built a new gym. That's where we originally wanted to go. Then O'Neill, Nebraska wanted us to go there. But when we had to move to May 4th, those schools are all having graduation that weekend. And they were willing to move graduation. I'm like, we're not going to have graduation getting moved to have a spring match. So we'll go up there, you know, next year. But the problem is that was – and Denver was the only school we could find that was still playing in this area. And that's farther than 400 miles to go up there for Denver. So that's why we shifted from there to Kearney. And we're playing Denver, who can get there. And, you know, so that's kind of the spring story, how it goes. It's kind of a crapshoot, you know, working it out in the spring.
So it's a puzzle, just trying to figure out where to play, who to play, when to play.
Yeah, and you know, mainly our thing is, you know, Denver is going to compete really hard. She understands Nebraska. She wants her players to experience this, and it's our way of sharing our team with outside of Lincoln or Omaha, and going out to Kearney. And I think there was so much interest, they decided to move it to the UNK gym, which can seat 5,000, because we were going to be in the new high school gym, but I think the seating was pretty limited, maybe less than 2,000 or somewhere around there. So the demand was so strong, they ended up switching it to the UNK campus.
Well, what a cool opportunity for people towards the western part of the state that maybe in the fall can't make it on a weeknight to a match in Devaney. They're able to experience all of this, and hopefully they're able to get tickets. I mean, it sounds like it was an intense process, but some people were happy and were able to purchase tickets that day, and we'll get to watch you all in person, but it won't be your full team.
Why is that?
Because you have two transfers that coming until,
okay.
Well, they won't be here before May 4th, correct?
No, they won't be here till June. Typically, you know, with the grad transfers, they're graduating at their university, and then they'll, as soon as they graduate, they'll get here. So, yeah.
Is there anyone else who will not be participating in the spring match, who will be in the fall, or anyone who's injured or hurt who maybe we won't see out on the court?
Well, I hope when we get to there, everybody's ready to go. But Allie is training with us this spring, but I don't think we're going to have her play unless we need her to play. So.
And when is she transferring?
She's doing the reverse. So Allie is here to graduate, go through graduation, and then she'll move to LA. So, yeah, I can talk about her, but I can't talk about the other ones. So, here's welcome to the NCAA.
But everyone else is participating in spring practice.
Everybody's going hard right now, so we're getting after it.
Well, let's get into it, and then we'll shift to some Cowboy talk, because you have some horse updates and some interesting things that we'll end on. But I want to first give us a quick recap of the beach season, because you guys, that's completed. You've now officially moved to indoor. So quick recap of how beach season went, your overall take on it.
Beach season, we won the most matches we've ever won. We played a very difficult schedule, like we always do. So we're getting better and more competitive. Our two freshmen, Skylar and Liv, are really good beach players, and they did a really, really good job. So I think they've actually helped us to have a really good beach season, just because typically when those freshmen come in, they've never played beach before. These guys have played beach, they've trained beach. I think they've even played in some tournaments. So they really elevated our team. I was very impressed with them. We played a lot of matches in basically 3 weeks, because the way the calendar is and our spring break everything got jammed together. So I felt like we were on the road between LSU and Hawaii for 3 weeks, basically. It was a long trip, and but we were able to give them a week off after we got back, so that worked out nice. But the beach was great, and the other thing we did was we went to the Big Island, and the Big Island is beautiful. It's the Nebraska part of Hawaii, I think. Very agricultural. There's deserts, there's snow, there's beautiful, you know, rainforests. It's a crazy island. I mean, the volcano goes up to 13,000 feet. So we got to experience playing over there, and we actually played one of our tournaments on a court that the sand is black. So it's crushed lava. I mean, it's regular sand, but it's crushed lava, so it's black. So you have to be careful. The weather was really nice, but if it gets really hot, you know, they could burn your feet.
And someone actually cut their foot on this, correct?
Yes. One of our players was not a freshman, was swimming, and happened to hit her foot on a piece of lava. And we had to take her to get stitches.
But the stitches are out. She's back in practice. She's okay.
She's back going. You never know. She can hide that, so...
And you were with the team for some of that, but then for other parts of that 3 week long stretch, you were doing some home visits, you were maybe doing some recruiting trips, some speaking engagements. Can you touch on any of that, or is there anything you can talk about there?
Yeah, well, so anytime, you know, I don't coach beach, so my calendar is more flexible. So on the way to Hawaii, I stopped and did recruiting. And then did a home visit, and then on the way back, did more recruiting and another home visit. So just trying to, you know, take advantage of those opportunities. And I just met the team in Hawaii, and then I met them back in Lincoln. So it's kind of, that's how it works. And during the spring, it's hard to recruit because you're practicing, we're doing beach. So this year we take Thursdays off. So, we can, because we have a crazy class schedule that day with some people. So we have people that get out late and people that have night class on Thursdays. So we take Thursdays off. So one of us can always, or two of us can always be on the road recruiting. So Jalen was recruiting yesterday, which was Thursday. And then we try to recruit Sundays because we practice on Saturdays. So it's a... You're cramming these things in. You're still trying to recruit because our recruiting season ends at the end of April. And then it starts back up in June, but that's when we're making offers and doing those things. So you kind of burn the candle at both ends. The spring is one of the busiest times of the year. And that's why I look forward to the fall, because you don't have to be out recruiting and we're in a routine. Now, we do travel to play, but we're getting our routine. Right now, it's... And again, I do speaking stuff. So I just spoke to the Future Farmers of America today at PBA, and that was, it's awesome. Those kids love it. And it's a great way to give back and share Nebraska volleyball with them and share some things that we try to instill in our players and we work on. And we did a question and answer thing that was really cool. But, you know, Lauren, basically the main message I sent them was this. I said, hey, you guys, what are you doing to be able to be in Pinnacle Bank Arena? Because the last time I was in there, I was on the same stage as Zach Bryan as I was today and standing about 10 feet behind him. So what are you guys doing that you deserve to be in Pinnacle Bank Arena? But they do an amazing job. It's an amazing program, from leadership to team building. They have officers, they have leaders, they have teams. They do seminars. The governor was there. They have... speakers that come in, so it's a really cool event. But if you're downtown Lincoln, you'll see all these future farmers walking around their blue jackets. That it's been Joni, who's our secretary in our office, 50 years ago was a Future Farmer of America wearing that jacket. Same jacket, hasn't changed. It's tradition.
That's awesome. Zach Bryan was still the best concert I've ever gone to.
I agree. I'd go
hands down.
I'd go see him again in a heartbeat.
I think he's going to be in Omaha in April or this month.
Are you serious?
I think at the end of this month, he's performing. Oh. I don't know what is it? Is it CHI? I don't know. It's changed names so many times, but I think he's performing there.
Yeah. I think it is CHI now. Wow. I'll have to reach out if you want to go.
Yeah.
Find out the date, Lauren. Let me know. They come in for the Kearney match, and let's go do it.
There we go. Making plans. Speaking of Jalen Reyes, I want to go back to him. It was announced that he's going to be the coach for the U21 team. You have five players who have been selected, I think, who aren't officially on the roster, but who will go through training and try to make the roster. Does that affect your training, or does that take Jalen away from coaching at all in the spring or the summer or the fall? Or do you encourage these players and coaches to take these opportunities?
Well, we encourage them. Kelly has signed up in the USA program now to coach because it's a great experience for them to get. Jalen's been very, very involved last several years with USA, doing camps and different things that they do. The dates work out beautifully for us because we finish our first round of camps on June 14th. That's when they leave to go train, and they get back July 1st when Junior Olympics start. Junior Olympics is very late this year. I mean, I don't even think I'm going there till July 5th or something, or July 4th to start, because it's spread out and it's over different age groups. So that window in there in June works out great. And like you said, five of our players have been invited to that, along with some other players we've recruited. So it's a really, really good team. It's going to be very competitive. And so it's a great honor for Jalen. It gives him great experience. And they'll go to Canada and play in what's called the NORSECA Championships, which is North American Zone for the Olympics. So that's Canada, United States, Cuba, Mexico, Dominican Republic. There might be a couple other small countries in there, but that's Puerto Rico. There's the other one, Puerto Rico. And that's the competition, and you win that championship. And then from that, that's a qualifier for the big tournaments like the World Championships and some other big tournaments that they'll have next year.
Do you worry about burnout?
A little bit, and we'll have to work with our players on developing a great plan. Of course, they don't have to do this, but again, the dates work out pretty good. We graduate, they'll have a couple weeks off, they'll have to come back and start getting physically ready and gym ready to go, and you know, potentially have 2-a-days. So we'll make a good plan so they get rest and recovery and some downtime, and they'll get to do that. But a lot of them really like playing for USA.
All right, here's the last few things I want to talk about with volleyball. And we've never done this before, but we're going to go through each position and just your focus for the spring. You're going to give me two or three things that you're focusing on through each position. So for example, I'll say setters, and maybe give me two or three keywords, key phrases, or skills that you're focusing on with the setters, and we'll move through each position. Does that make sense?
Is this like rapid fire, Lauren? Because I love rapid fire.
It is like rapid fire, yeah. But with volleyball and with your positions on the court. Does that sound good?
Let's do it. Let's do it. See what comes out. I don't know. I have no idea what will come out, but let's see what comes out.
Well, you're back to coaching, right? I know you didn't coach
beach. Serve the ball over the net in the court. That's
oh my gosh,
big
please.
Focus.
And set the freaking middles.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Serve the ball in the court. So
I guarantee you, we're setting the middles. So yeah. Okay.
All right. Passers.
Confidence. We're working on some new drills that Jordan showed us and worked with, which is helping create a great angle. What's happening in college volleyball, the ball's moving so fast now and so much, which we saw against Texas. You don't have time anymore to pass the way we used to teach it. So you just have to have a great platform. And that's what's so great about beach for us, because in beach you can't move your feet when you pass. So it's all your platform. So it's a great transition to indoor. We're working on developing their platforms and their angles and their feel for the ball. And we've got some great drills that we're doing that kind of over-exaggerate it.
Pin hitters. So right sides, outsides.
We're working on trying to hit the ball harder.
How do you do that?
That's a great question. It's technical. It's working on trying to get them to rotate more, to open up, to get their feet to the ball. So that's a – and we can do a whole coaching clinic on how to do that. And it's not that we do a coaching clinic every day in practice, but there's some things we're working on. But the goal is to hit the ball harder.
I'll tell you what, I don't want to be playing defense against some of your outsides if they're trying to hit the ball harder, especially Harper Murray.
Yeah.
I would be running the other direction. All right, middles.
The focus for middles is what we call calm under stress. So I'll explain that. The middle position, there's a lot going on around you, and you're stuck in the middle, right? And you got hitters on both sides, you got defenders on both sides, you got all this going on, you got three hitters coming at you, you're expected to block them all. So we're really working on just how do we stay calm in the storm. And it's through breathing, it's through vision, it's just getting your body to settle down and be relaxed, ready to go. So that's our big focus this spring. It is a very difficult thing to master. The players that are at the Olympic level, the professional level, the ones that Jordan's playing with, they have learned how to do that just to be calm under stress. Because if you get all worked up and you start thinking and guessing, and then you're two steps behind before anything even happens.
I need to take that advice into everyday motherhood with a toddler, a three-year-old toddler.
Yeah.
All right. My favorite position, setters.
Kelly's been working with the setters a lot. I've kind of let her go. She trained Kennedy all spring, and I was down there watching. And I'm just trying to help Kelly develop her confidence in what she's teaching. She's got a great eye for setting. But the biggest thing is the best term I could use is just their posture. Okay, and so posture means, do you get your feet to the ball? Are you underneath the ball? Are your hands in the right position that you can set anything you want? And again, that is all prep, how you start, what are you watching? Are you watching the passer and how that ball comes off the passer? Because everybody's a little bit different. So they got to anticipate that. If you watch great setters, Lauren, and you know, I don't want to brag about you, but you were a great setter. If you watch great setters, they make it look effortless to get to the ball. It's almost like they know where the pass is going to be. Then you watch young setters, and they just look like they're always late to the ball. So we're trying to get our setters to be early to the ball and be in great posture. Now, obviously, if the pass is low or something, you can't do that. But on good passes, and that's what we're really working on. That's footwork, it's vision, it's all kinds of things. But trying to make – another great way to say it is make it look easy.
Keys with serving, besides getting it in.
Yeah, 80% have to be float serves. So you got to serve a ball that floats. The ball can't have spin on it. We're also working on jump serving. And we're working on jump serving just to develop that. They like it. And we're working on jump serving to help them hit the ball harder. That's one of the things we're doing.
When you say jump serving, you mean like jump top spin?
Jump top spin, yeah. Because if you go watch a men's practice, every time I do this, we were in Hawaii, went and watched the Hawaii men train. And every guy can serve the crap out of it with a jump serve. Why is that? Well, that's what they do in men's volleyball. And every guy's got a great arm, and everybody can hit the ball hard. Well, they do a lot of jump serving. They do a lot of hitting. And so we just incorporate that in there. Maybe we come out with a jump serve. I mean, a couple players have shown some potential to have a pretty good jump serve.
Keys for defense.
We haven't even talked about defense. So
you haven't done the cone drill?
I think we've done it once, but we're playing more and doing more stuff across the net right now, as opposed to just getting reps. We get plenty of reps. So this is more about teaching them to read and feel and move and control the ball.
And what about offense?
That's a big focus for us this spring is getting our hitters and setters on the same page, understanding tempo depending on where the ball's passed. We're working on trying to be better in the back row. So just being more consistent offensively. Of course, you got to pass to do it. So you still got to work, what are you going to do when you're out of system? Because we're going to be out of system. And so, but that's been one of our focuses is on when the pass is over here, what do we want to do? And then studying what other setters do and other teams do when they're pass here, pass there, pass off the net, or they get a good pass. So that's kind of been a big focus for us. And then also out of system setting. You probably were going to ask that next, but everybody's got to be a setter. I thought we were one of the best teams in the country that last year, one of the best teams we've ever had here. And I think we have a chance to take it up to another level.
Every time we do a radio broadcast and someone misses an out of system set, that's, if it's Lexi stepping in or a middle, and maybe it's not a great set or it goes over the net. I think you had a couple of those last season. I always say that every day in practice, you say everyone's a setter and everyone has to go through some sort of setting drill or setting practice.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes fans are like, do they work on out of system setting in practice? But I always confirm that on every, it seems like every radio broadcast it gets brought up.
Yeah.
Because you're bound to miss. I mean, when someone has to step in, even though you train it every single day, someone's bound to miss or mess up or not put the ball on the money. And you guys are really good at it this season. And I agree, it was one of your best seasons yet, but it's bound to happen.
The hard part of it is everybody's going to have to set a ball at some point. You just don't know when. The setters know every other play they're setting. I mean, every other touch of the ball they're setting. But you might go four games, and all of a sudden the fifth game at 12-12, you're middle and you have to set a ball. And you better be ready. And that's why we're really training the heck out of it and really emphasizing it because it's that can win a match for you.
Middles always want to set the ball.
Oh yeah,
they're seems like they're always in the way. Like, oh, I got this. So yeah, I'll step in and take this for you.
Yeah. Setters want to hit. Middles are frustrated setters. Liberos want to hit, and then a lot of the outsides think they should be setting. If I didn't grow so tall, I would be setting. How many times I've heard that?
Oh, all right. We are going to finish with some horse talk, some cowboy talk, cowboy cook. And I'll let this count as your confession and lesson.
Okay, great. Great.
Because you have, it's your birthday month, so I'll let you off the hook first.
Thank you.
First of all, and then second of all, you have some juicy horse news. Potentially you're getting a new horse, some interesting ways about how you go about buying a horse now. So I want you to take us through the process. And this is, when you told me this for the first time a couple of weeks ago, I had no idea this even existed, but there are horse auctions. Am I wording that correctly?
Yes.
And you are going to try to purchase a horse in this auction, but there's very strict rules on, once you submit a horse, you have to leave that horse in, even if someone wants to buy it and they're not going to the auction. I mean, there's cowboy rules that they live and die by. So just talk us through all of that information. Tell us how this process works and tell us maybe a little bit about some of the horses that you're looking at.
Okay.
Or maybe not. Maybe you want to keep this a secret because we may have some competition listening.
Oh, I've already had at the FFA group, I told them I was looking for another horse. And of course, I got a girl came up to me. She's got a horse in the Pitzer sale April 27th, but it's a colt, so it's young. And that's not the kind of horse I'm looking for. And there's a whole world out there. And again, it's very similar to recruiting. So the way it works is and I've already been to two horse auctions, both when I was in Arizona, they happened to have them the 2 weekends I was there recruiting, and they were right next door. One was right next door to where I was recruiting, and the other one I had to drive to. But
So you're really going recruiting.
Yeah. So I just went over to check it out because I never had been to one before, but I've already tried out some horses that from Nebraska that are going to be in the Pitzer sale. And the Pitzer sale is a ranch in Erickson, Nebraska. And it's a beautiful place. They have 400 brood mares that they're breeding and training and selling. So some of their horses are in the sale. There's 275 horses in the sale.
And they sell all of them.
It's going to go on all day. All get sold. And it's going to go on all day. And you're right. So I went and tried a horse that's going to be in the sale probably over a month. Well, it was back in February.
Hold on. Can anyone go try out a horse, or do you get – is this a special permit because you're Coach Cook?
No, you call the owner and ask if you can ride him ahead of time.
Okay.
Now, the day before the sale, they'll have what's called the preview. So all 275 horses, if they're colts, or then they won't ride them because they're not broken yet. But they'll have cowboys that will rope on those horses, and you can watch them work. And they'll do all kinds of different things in the arena. And it's an indoor arena, so you can go in there and watch, and they call it the preview. So you can watch the horses and watch them rope. Sometimes the owners will be on them, but that's kind of how it works. And then the next day, the sale starts. So if you got a horse for sale in there, it's horse 22, okay? Horse 22, you know, you're waiting until that horse comes up, and then the bidding starts. And they got these auctioneer guys that are amazing, and they're... okay, we're starting here, blah, 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 blah. You know, they go really fast, and people are bidding. And then the other
thing... up paddles?
You just... each one's a little different. Your hand, or you have a number.
Okay.
You have a number.
Okay.
And or there's people bidding online. So you can watch all this online. And you can bid online. So they got a guy on a computer there saying, oh, if you're online, I'll pay that or whatever. You know, in the bidding process. So it's fascinating. And of course, a lot of these people, this is how they make their living. They go to these sales and they auction their horses off that they've trained for certain events or certain ranching things or roping things and so on. So it's fascinating. It's one of the sales I went to, you can tell the really nice horses. And you can tell the horses are just, okay, so it's no different than recruiting. You got Division I athletes, Division II athletes, and, you know, from there. And so this one horse, I saw this horse go, and I'm like, wow, that is a great horse. Well, it went for $180,000. So I can pick out good horses. But that is an exceptional horse, and that's off the charts. And but the horses all range, going all different price zones and all different ranges, and it just depends on the horse. But you look at them, and then people decide. And for me, there's no rhyme or reason. Some of these horses go for a lot of money. I see other really nice horses don't go for hardly anything. So I don't know what the rhyme or reason is, and if it's people just looking for a pretty horse, or so I still haven't. And I asked the cowboys, and they don't know either. It's just somebody likes the color of that horse, so they're going to bid them up.
That's how I would do it.
Yep, I know. I think that's what happens. I think there's a lot of moms or women that are telling, oh, I like that horse. Let's go get it. So, yeah.
Or picking out a horse for your granddaughter, which you're supposed to be doing.
Well, the key is there. The horse is not going to buck. That's why I look at older horses, because they're just more mature and veterans, and they're over that. So.
And these are only roping horses?
No, these are all different kinds of horses. They could be reining horses, cutting horses, baby horses, roping horses. I mean, out of 275, you're gonna see everything.
Are they well taken care of?
Well,
this isn't like a, you know how they have auctions to slaughter animals and they're in terrible conditions. I mean, these horses are well taken care of.
Yeah, they spend, they have, they primp the horses for the sale. So let's put it that way. Their coats are shiny. Their manes and tails are beautiful. They're slicked up, as the cowboys say, they're slicked up. So, yeah, they.
I just want to make sure everyone's well taken care of.
Yeah, yeah, they're very well taken care of. And
you're looking to get another horse, but you still have Reba and Reggie.
Yeah, Reba and Reggie.
Or no.
So Bud is now has a new home at Lindsay's because
Lindsay
his
Peterson.
New job is Lindsay's got four boys between 4 and 10, and Bud's new job is those boys learn how to ride. So Bud's there, and there's Reggie and Reba, and then I'm going to go in half with your brother on a third horse because you got to have depth. And what we've learned is
building the horse roster.
Yeah. Horses get bored or burned out. So you just can't go and rope on them every day. They need variety just like we all do. And there's no difference. So they need to go on trail rides. They need to have time off. They get sore, you know, roping steers and pulling steers. So, and if that's all you do, they'll get bored. So I don't have enough. I don't have as much time to rope as your brother does. I mean, he, you know, rides every day now. But you want to give horses breaks and rotate them a little bit. And so that's another reason to look at another horse. That's why they sell 2-horse trailers, 3-horse trailers, 4-horse trailers. I've seen six-horse trailers.
It's like a dog.
Yeah.
Once you get one,
yep.
You need another, and
yep.
Then another.
Yep.
But you know what? I'll volunteer to do trail rides this summer.
Okay. Okay.
You and Taylor can rope, and I'll volunteer to take him on trail rides. But speaking of Taylor, he entered a roping competition with, I believe, Reggie?
Yeah, he rode Reggie.
Just Reggie, okay. And was that Reggie's first roping competition?
Oh, no. Reggie's been in other roping competitions, but it's been a long time since he went in and won that high level.
So it went well?
It went very well. Taylor did very well, and he went in a very high level roping. It was not a preseason match roping. It was a Big Ten high level roping, and he did really well, and so did Reggie.
So Reggie got extra hay and some extra treats.
Oh yeah, yep.
Apple, carrot.
Yeah.
Good. Well, how old are you turning this month?
I don't know, Lauren. Can we please not talk
about it? You lost track. Yeah. You're still a young spring chicken.
Yeah.
You're roping, you're riding, you're recruiting, speaking. You're doing all the things.
Yeah. So anyway.
Age is only a number. Are you doing anything to celebrate your birthday?
I think we practiced that day, and I think I'm speaking that day too. So I know I have a lot of stuff going that day. You know.
Is there anything you want for your birthday?
No. No. Okay. I just got a new rope, so I'm good there.
Okay. And back to the horse auction. Will you be in person at the auction?
I don't know yet if I'll be in person. I'm going to try to go to the preview. The auction is actually the same day as the spring football game. So obviously Matt Rhule and football did not check the Pitzer sale before they – scheduled the spring football game. They should have done it the week before so it doesn't conflict with the Pitzer horse sale. So
Matt's on your bad list.
Yeah,
you're mad at him.
Yeah, but the plan is to go out for the preview and then like I said, you can bid online, or I don't know if Taylor will want to go, or we haven't figured that out yet.
You're probably gonna have Husker volleyball fans showing up to this Pitzer sale, not for horses, just to see you or preview and shake your hand, get an autograph.
If they can find Erickson, Nebraska, you know, good luck. It's in the middle of nowhere, and there's nothing out there except this big horse ranch. So it's really a cool place. I almost felt like I was in a movie when I saw it all. It was incredible.
Like Yellowstone.
Yeah, but even different. I mean, this is like the old days. I mean, think 400 horses running around in a big, you know, huge ranch, and you can see them from the road. And like I said, you felt like you're in a movie.
You're just trying to channel your inner John Dutton.
Yeah. So.
Well, happy early birthday. Thank you so much for coming on this month. Good luck with the rest of spring volleyball and with your horse auction sale. I hope that you end up with a horse that you want and don't have too much competition.
Yeah. I thought of something I wanted for my birthday.
Okay, what?
Might be a crumble cookie.
Not a Levain?
Well, Levain's too far away. Crumble's right here in Lincoln now, but yeah, they're pretty good.
I'm sure someone will send you Levain cookies.
Joni brings them in about every 2 weeks, and it's like...
God bless Joni.
Yeah, they're...
She's the best.
Yeah, she is the best.
She is. All right, well, Coach Cook, thank you so much for your time. To our listeners, viewers, thank you for tuning in to another month of Kicking Back with the Cooks, and we will catch you again next month. Thanks, and go Big Red.